The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by NJC Investments, who is solely responsible for its content.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Lee Baldwin & Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Portions transcribed.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to the Your Financial Future program on 94.3 FM The Talker. My name is Nick Colarossi. I am a certified retirement counselor at NJC Investments in beautiful Clark's Green, Pennsylvania, and I'm thankful that you've joined us once again as we open up this week's doors to the College of Financial Knowledge. Our program originates this morning from the luxurious corner office studio right here at the beautiful Bold Gold Radio Complex, located high atop the dampening but thawing fields of the West Mountain of Scranton, Pennsylvania, the Electric City. Our goal on today's program is to help you to become a better long-term investor. There's a lot of news from last week. There's a stack of stuff I would like to deliver. So much I know that I'm not going to get it all in. So I'm not going to tell you about everything I have in my pile because I'm probably going to spread it over a few weeks. But some of the things that we will be talking about, we'll be talking about some of Wall Street's best ideas right now. I have several different analysts and market mavens from last week with different ideas across different sectors that I will share with you their opinions. We'll talk about the best performing sectors of the markets right now because we've had record closes. We've had even a new record close on the NASDAQ for the first time since November of 2021. We'll talk about that and give you the best performing sectors right now and things that may just be on sale as well. We'll talk about some hedges. How about Bitcoin versus gold? We'll talk about those ideas. We have some ETFs to share with you, including some ETFs in artificial intelligence. We'll talk about some income ideas. I promise I will get in as many investment ideas in this hour as I possibly can. So please stay with us the entire hour. I promise to make it well worth your while, and you will be all the wiser for it. Before we get to all this great information, I must introduce the man across the massive soundboard because without him, this program would not be airing, and nor would all of the great educational programs that you hear on The Talkers right here on the weekends air because he does it all. He's producer extraordinaire, Mr. DC Taylor. And good morning, DC.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for that. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just great. We've passed the milestone, DC.
What is that?
We're past DC Taylor's first day of spring, which was yesterday. Yes. DC Taylor spring comes on March 1st.
Yeah. Welcome to day two of DC Taylor spring.
And it was nice yesterday.
Yeah.
What's a little bit more rainy, I think, today in the forecast.
But yeah, it's, definitely.
It's feeling like DC Taylor spring still. It's getting warmer.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Definitely going to see a good bit of rain today and a high about 50. And tomorrow, partly sunny and 60.
That's not too bad. I'll take that one.
You can tell I like it because my voice went up.
And we're just a few weeks, just a few short weeks away from the real spring.
The real spring.
So hang in there. It's coming and putting old man winter behind us. I'm happy to see that. And I'll be looking forward to spring as well.
Yeah.
Well, DC, a reminder to all, if there's ever anything you hear on the program that you need more information on, we're always happy to corral that and get it out to you by email or snail mail or anything that we can to get you the deep details you need to make wise investment decisions. We cover a lot of ground quickly on the program. We don't get into the deep details that you really need. So we always say don't invest in anything that you hear quickly anywhere, including right here on this program. But if we can help you in any way, including talking to us or getting those details to you, that you can do your own homework, your own due diligence. We're happy to do that free of charge or obligation. You can call us at any time, 570-586-5030, or reach us directly through our website. That would be njcinvestments.com. Well, DC, we're coming off another record week in our markets, especially the NASDAQ. I want to focus in on today, set a new record, all-time high on the NASDAQ, kind of quietly under the radar, new all-time high came in. That's the first time since 2021. We were 569 trading days. It's a lot of days without a new record on the NASDAQ. We're getting a little spoiled, right? These new records back to back. The S&P also put in a new record on Thursday. NASDAQ new intraday high again on Friday. And the Dow earlier last week put an all-time high in. So the averages are up. We're doing well across the board, and it's not like a frothy, everybody's excited and jumping in, which is a good sign.
Right.
Right? When everybody is running, and when you start to hear the man on the street telling you what stocks they're buying, DC Taylor,
yeah,
run and hide. I always go back to the story way back when in the dot-com bubble. Yes, I was a financial advisor all the way back in 2000 and before that. But the dot-com bubble in 2000, I knew on the weekend that I should have sold everything on Monday morning. Here's how I knew.
Yeah.
I was in Wegmans doing my shopping. That's my getaway, right? I'd go up to Wegmans. I knew where everything was. I'd go up and down the aisles. That was my time away from everything. That was my kind of hobby at that point.
Yeah.
I get to the meat counter, DC. I'm about three deep, and the two in front of me, a couple of older women, let's say 70 plus. And pushing their carts, and they were talking about the stocks that they were investing in.
Yeah,
I'm like, this ought to be interesting. I'm overhearing them, and they were talking about, oh no, I only invest in the very, very safe companies like AOL and Qualcomm.
Oh boy,
which at the point they were the most aggressive things on the market.
Sure.
I knew at 9:30 on that Monday, this was a Sunday, I should have sold everything because I'm telling you, that Monday afternoon is when the downtick started, and boy, technology, it cratered between 50 and 70%.
Yeah.
I don't think we're anywhere near that because not everybody's talking about this. And also because valuations, especially on some of these big companies, we'll get into it in a minute, are not extended. Yes, the prices have gone way up, but why have they? Because the earnings have gone way up.
Mm-hmm.
So a good market week last week. We'll talk more about those valuations a little bit later in the program. But for right now, I would just like to tell you about the sectors that are working and the sectors that are not working in the S&P 500. As you know, DC, there are 11 sectors that comprise our S&P 500, which is known as the broadest index that we use. The Dow is only 30 companies. The S&P is 500 companies, right? So a broad index out there. The S&P 500 itself up now over 7% year to date. Now, just in the month of February alone, in February, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2.2% in 1 month. Terrific.
Yeah.
The average return on the Dow is about 10% per year. 2.2% in 1 month is notable.
Right.
The S&P 500 led them all up 6.1% in the month of February. And it's a short month, DC, even with that extra day this year.
I know, right?
Right? And the NASDAQ was up 5.1. These are terrific numbers to start the year. I caution you, we will probably not do that every month or every 2 months. We won't be up this much. There will be corrections along the way. We just don't know when they're coming. A correction of 10% from the highs would not be uncommon, nor would it be cause right now for what we can see to become nervous. Mm-hmm. It would be a normal event. We'll hope we don't have it, DC, but expect one at any time.
Yeah.
But 2.2% on the Dow, 6.1% on the S&P, 5.1% on the NASDAQ. The S&P itself now up over 7% year to date. Here are the best and the worst performers out of the 11 sectors of the S&P. Number one best performer, S&P Information Technology. Okay, the tech sector up 11.5% to start the year as we start off the investment month of March. The best, the second best is the S&P 500 Communication Services, very closely tied to technology, up 11.1%. If we were to stop the year right now, DC Taylor, those would be considered good years.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just through February. The third best performing sector, S&P 500 Financials. Surprising all to jump up the charts. Now up 6.6%. Healthcare now up 6.5%. And rounding out the top five, industrials, which is, haven't made a move in a long time, up 5.9%. Here we go. Number six is consumer discretionary, up 4.8%. S&P 500 energy, now again positive, up 3.45%. Do you know that oil touched $80 a barrel? This is not making me happy.
All right.
It touched $80 a barrel for the first time since November. Let's hope it kind of stays here and starts to come back down, but yeah, that can be a problem if it keeps rising. But energy now up 3.4%. The S&P 500 consumer staples sector also positive, up 3.1%. Materials up 2.5%. And we come now to the last two sectors, the only two sectors negative year to date as of March 2nd are the real estate sectors and the utility sectors, and they're not down too much. Real estate down 2.2%, still having trouble with the higher interest rates. And utilities, which are also related to interest rates, they do better when interest rates are falling, not when they're rising. If interest rates start to fall, I think both these sectors can recover. But again, real estate down 2.2%, utilities down 3.9% year to date. And within that utility sector, DC, when they're down, maybe some value in there, because what happens to those dividend yields when those prices come down?
They go up.
Of course they do. Yeah. So there may be, just may be, some bargains in that utility sector. Do your homework, do your due diligence. But that is a good report as of March 2nd for the S&P 500 sectors. Well, DC, that's past history now, right? We know what's happened in the last 2 months. The bigger question is, where do we head from here?
Right.
I think there's 10 more months left in 2024.
I do believe.
And I heard something strange, like that might be an election year.
Election year, yeah.
Have you heard right. that?
Sure.
Well, the good thing in an election year, statistics are generally on our side. In a year where the sitting president is running for re-election, the actual market statistics for the S&P 500 is a plus 11% year.
Okay.
And when you couple it with the year before and the S&P being up over 10%, it goes closer to a 15% average return on the S&P in a year like we're facing right now. Of course,
Past performance is not a guarantee, nor is it indicative of future results.
That's right. We're good, but even DC Taylor cannot predict the future.
Not yet. I'm working on it.
We'll see how it works out for us, but there are still some very good signs. The things that drive markets higher on the equity side, on the stock side, in the long run, there's two. It is earnings and interest rates, right? They hear, don't fight the Fed. When rates are going up, we see what happens. Stocks and bonds came down pretty good over the last 2 years. When rates are going down, DC, that gives us generally a tailwind behind us, pushing our stock markets and our bond markets higher. That's a generalization and not across all, you know, all sectors and all the time, but that is a generalization. And also earnings. So what's been going on in earnings? Well, it's been certainly a narrow market where the top stocks, the Magnificent Seven, as we've covered just a couple times here on the program, have certainly led over the last year, but it is starting to broaden out. But let's go back to the Magnificent Seven. NVIDIA, when they had their earnings about a week ago, their earnings were up 500% year over year. Sales, their revenues up over 265% year over year. These are numbers like we've never, ever seen for a growth company this large.
And it's not just NVIDIA. Year-over-year earnings growth for the S&P 500 right now, growing at about 7% growth. We've had the last few years, DC, where they were beating estimates, but we weren't growing earnings. We are now growing at a 7% clip. So the good news is earnings may justify, if they keep rising, the current valuations on our market. If you look at NVIDIA, trading about 31 times earnings coming into last week, forward earnings, which for a technology company is very, very reasonable. But they've gone up 240% year over year. Yes, they have in share price, but it's been driven by that 500% growth in earnings per share. So that's what's going on behind our market. There is a lot of positivity on Wall Street if you look for it. Don't be a Debbie Downer over there, DC, right?
Right.
Look for there's some certainly some headwinds we have as well. We'll talk about that in just a second. But US markets, if you take the Magnificent Seven, which it seems to be broadening out, not so much in growth. The Super Seven companies grew their earnings year over year now by 60%. The rest of the S&P 500, minus 2%. But I just shared with you, DC, some of those sectors of the market that have been asleep for so long. Now, 9 of the 11 sectors in the S&P 500 are positive because they're beating estimates and expected to grow their earnings going forward. I think it is critical that we have earnings growth broaden out beyond just the Magnificent Seven for our markets to go higher. What are the risks out there? Well, it comes down to that interest rate picture, I think. If inflation continues to be stickier than expected, or if companies start to struggle because of that and because of these high rates of borrowing, right? Mm-hmm. Companies have to borrow.
Yeah.
It's a lot different borrowing at 3% than it is 7%, DC.
Right.
So that could be a problem. So now, other potential headwinds that we see, we certainly have had slowing U.S. retail sales. Now, we get a big retail sales number next week. We'll see if that changes. But we've had industrial production slowing down. Our leading economic indicators have gone negative now for about 21 straight months. We have countries like China, Germany, Japan, and the UK already in or very close to a recession. We're trying to avoid one here. But I do think that the Federal Reserve will be on our side in 2024. I know they're saying, well, inflation is still high. We may wait and keep them higher for longer. I don't think that's the case, DC. It's an election year. I think they will try to pretty things up the best they can.
Right.
Get the mortgage market moving, which has been dead. Worst housing year in 14 years last year. We have to get those homes moving. We have to get car sales moving. They're lagging behind as well. So I do expect rate cuts to start as early as May. Mm-hmm. I am in the minority, DC, so flag the tape. We'll see if I am right.
Okay.
Right now, according to CME FedWatch, there is it used to be higher, but only a 27.4% chance of a May rate cut. There's only a 55% chance of it starting in June. That's what they're pricing in. I'm coming down. They'll start in May and they'll cut a few more times before the election. I'm looking for 4 rate cuts in 2024. 1 to 1.5% lower rates is my belief before the election. Flag the tape.
Flagging the tape.
If I'm right, that can help our bond markets. That can help our stock markets. So we'll hope, DC, that I'm right and it plays out as I expect and not the majority. We'll see how we do.
Okay.
Now, we're going to take a break right here. When I come back, we're going to talk about some income ideas first because I want to really show you how things like bonds will perform if we do get those rate cuts. I have the facts in front of me, DC, but also when we come back, I'm going to start sharing with you some of the top ideas from some of the best minds on Wall Street, where they're investing their money right now. We'll share those ideas with you so you can do your homework to see if you think the Wall Street guys are right this time. No, don't worry, DC. There's no true experts, are there?
Right. Still searching for the real experts.
But some of these picks are very interesting. You may want to do a little homework in.
Okay.
But for right now, let's take our first break and thank our friends at Seidel's Restaurant in North Scranton for sponsoring this portion of our program. This is the best time of the year, DC. It's a slower time in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. right? A little bit before Easter, a little bit before Mother's Day. Then it starts to pick really, gets too busy sometimes. Right. This is a great time to get to know the restaurant, get to know some of the workers, sometimes even get to meet the chef when you're out at times like this.
Nice.
Seidel's has a great list of nightly specials, a great menu to begin with. I love their atmosphere. Do yourself a favor, pick up the phone right now. I know that you're going to love it, and I'm sure that you will not be disappointed. Your financial future back after this brief message. I hope you'll please stay with us.
If you're searching for a special dining experience, Seidel's Restaurant is your home for great taste. Seidel's Restaurant is one of Scranton's elite fine dining establishments, specializing in Italian-American contemporary cuisines. At Seidel's, generous size entrees are prepared with only the highest quality ingredients. So whether you're having a meal for business or pleasure, it's sure to leave a lasting impression. Seidel's Restaurant has mouth-watering Italian-American contemporary cooking with a delightful ambiance. At Seidel's, you are certain to find unique specials for what you're craving. If you can't find an entree off their elaborate menu, just ask the chef. He can create an off-the-menu meal for you. At Seidel's, the owner is also the chef. Seidel's is located on the corner of Main Avenue and Tripp Street in North Scranton. They are now accepting holiday party reservations and on- and off-site holiday catering. 343-6544. That's 343-6544. Make it special. Make it Seidel's.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on the Your Financial Future program right here on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Another beautiful Saturday morning, DC Taylor.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a good little damp, little rainy out there, but we need rain.
It's going to green us up as we go.
Right.
And we have a nice day in store tomorrow.
Of course.
But today's a wonderful day right now because you just delivered a piping hot cup of coffee. I'm so thrilled to have this morning. Uh-huh. On a kind of damp Saturday morning. It's terrific to get our day started. What is it that we have today?
Well, this is the classic. It is a all-time favorite, the 8 o'clock dark Italian roast.
I knew that. Yeah. It's my favorite. I love it. Yeah. And I thank you for it, DC. I don't know how you do it so quickly between breaks.
Oh, yeah.
But he does that mad dash, and here we are. And we urge everyone, hey, why don't you grab a cup of whatever it is that gets your early Saturday morning started? Sit back and enjoy the rest of our program. I would like to turn quickly towards the bond market, DC. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with PIMCO this week. As you know, we've talked about PIMCO. We do own some PIMCO bonds, and we have for many, many, many years. I find them to be the best bond house out there. Many do. Mm-hmm. I believe they are the largest. And I did have a meeting with them. They were talking about interest rates. We just talked about the percentage chances of interest rates. PIMCO thinks we will see 3 interest rate cuts this year. They think they will happen later in the year. So they're on the side against me. They think it'll be June and beyond.
Right.
But they think 3. They don't think anywhere near the 6 that the market was pricing in earlier. But they think that bonds can perform very well in the rest of 2024. And here's why. Interest rates peaked back in July. They stopped raising rates back in July.
Okay.
I have some statistics to share with you, DC,
okay,
from PIMCO and from Bloomberg. And this is what happens to multi-sector and core bonds 3 years after interest rates have peaked.
Okay.
So the cumulative returns on a multi-sector bond, again, this is according to Morningstar and PIMCO, mm-hmm, and also Bloomberg, I should put in there. Those 3 are behind this chart that I'm looking at today. 3 years down the road, the cumulative return in the multi-sector bond market, 26.7%. Huh. That is notable, DC, because the average return on the aggregate bond index is about 6%. 1% per year.
Yeah.
We've had two bad years coming into 2024 with the exception of November and December of 2023, where they really turned positive. So looking out in a three-year period, the historic rate of return cumulatively for the next 3 years after July would be 26.7%, 32.9% in core bond holdings. That's including your interest or dividends that are paid in these bond funds, and also the growth in share price. So if this holds up, this would be double-digit returns, basically, for the next 3 years in bonds. Of course, DC Taylor, he's shaking his head. He wants to talk. What is it, DC? Right,
I'm chomping at the bit to tell you that while that is nice, past performance is not a guarantee, nor is it indicative of future results.
That is correct, DC Taylor. No doubt about that. But bonds generally perform very well in interest rate cut cycles. And I think that is the next cycle ahead of us. If that is the case, I believe strongly that we can have a very good fixed income market for the next 6 to 12 months. We'll see how that plays out. Now, we've talked about the major. I had some fixed income that I wanted to start with today. I didn't bring it with me, but we'll be talking more about that. I had an article going back 6 months saying, here's where to buy fixed income, and I know they were premature. It just started to turn positive in November of last year. We'll see if that can continue. But we talk often about the largest bond fund out there, which is one of our larger holdings, not for every client. Every client is different. Mm-hmm. But for full disclosure, we do hold this fund. We have for many, many years, the PEMCO Income Fund on the A-shares. The symbol is PONAX, PONAX. On the institutional shares, the symbol is PIMIX. And let me give you the returns historically, and these returns, again, from Morningstar.com. The PIMCO Income Fund, it's a mutual fund, after fees, on the institutional shares, the 15-year average return, 6.8% per year.
Okay.
Now, over the last 3 years, 3.5%, which is a good number being how tough it was in the bond market over the last 3 years. But in the last 15 years, 6.8% DC, that is number one out of 147 multi-sector bonds. That's the category of the PIMCO Income Fund. That is the number one ranking over the last 10 and over the last 15 years. Now, that is certainly not a recommendation from me to you to buy that. There are many good bond funds out there. You may start your homework there and branch out. There are many competitors, but they do, with that number one rating, have a good past track record, DC.
Yeah.
Even DC Taylor can't tell you about the forward track record. But if you're looking for fixed income ideas, that's a good place to start your homework, my opinion. And DC, we talked about the interest rates. If they do come down, why it can be so important for fixed income. Again, information again from Bloomberg and PIMCO on the multi-sector bond market when interest rates are cut. Now, if interest rates are cut 0.5%, so that would be 2.25 or 1.5% cuts, the multi-sector bond market historically in the next 12-month period has had an 8% return. If they're cut 1%, one full percent, we're expecting 1 to 1.5.
Yeah.
But if they're cut 1, that goes up to a 9% return on average historically in 1 year. These are good numbers for bonds, DC.
Yeah.
If it's 2%, 13% returns are expected in 1 year in the multi-sector bond market. So that's why we're kind of excited about the prospects for the bond market. Of course,
yes,
we'll have to see what Jay Powell does. You can never predict that character, can you?
Right.
The Fed chairman, a lot of people saying he doesn't have to cut rates at all. So this is all out there. If you believe rates are going to be cut, bonds can do very well. If you believe they're going to go sideways or higher, then that would not be a good environment for bonds. I think they'll be cut, DC Taylor. We'll see how 2024 plays out. Thanks again for tuning in to the Your Financial Future program right here on 94.3 FM, The Talker, on this beautiful Saturday morning. And thanks for allowing DC and I to be the soundtrack for your early Saturday mornings. More information to come, DC Taylor. I think we'll jump over to the ETF area, exchange traded funds. We talk a lot about individual stocks and the Magnificent Seven and everything else, but sometimes it's better for investors. Some investors prefer to be in baskets of stocks instead of trying to pick this one, and so forth. And sometimes it's easier to start off in baskets where you're diversifying your risk. So in an exchange traded funds, they do trade like stocks, except there may be 50 to 300 different positions in there. So you have a little piece of each one. This week, we had news from U.S. News and World Report on their seven top-rated ETFs to buy now. This was an article from February 27th by Mark Guberti. It's online, so you can check out the deep details. I'll give you the symbols. I'll give you a one-liner from the article, but I urge you, if you have an interest in this area, to read the entire article. Do your homework. If we can help in any way, please give us a call at NJC Investments. We're happy to help. I will say right up front, DC, we do not currently own any of these, but I will give you at the end, I'll give you, because everybody has been asking, I will give you some symbols for some ETFs in the artificial intelligence area that we do own, or some that that keep popping up as the best to own in that particular area. Although some of these cover that area quite well. Let's start with number one from U.S. News and World Report. Again, their picks, their opinions. The first is the VanEck Semiconductor ETF. The symbol is SMH. And we own others. We do not currently own this. Expense ratio, only 0.35%. This fund has gained 20.3% year-to-date as of February 26th and has a 15-year annual average return of 25.3%. That is SMH. Next is OEF. That's the iShares S&P 100 ETF, 0.2%. On an expense ratio, this has outperformed the S&P 500 over the past year, as well as the past 5 years. And the top holdings, Microsoft, Apple, NVIDIA, I think a lot of these have those top holdings. OEF is the symbol there. Schwab U.S. Large Cap Growth, and that is the SCHG. These are all leaning growth, DC, because that's what's been working in late 2023 into 2024. It is SCHG with a 0.04. That's one of the lowest expense ratios, 0.04% expense ratio on SCHG. Top holdings here, again, Microsoft, Apple, and NVIDIA. All right. Okay. Now, let me just stop for a second, DC. Let me just remind everyone, if that area turns south, there's no hiding in things like this. So these are more aggressive by nature. Do your homework, do your due diligence, but these are not very diversified funds. Okay, next, the fourth of seven top-rated ETFs to buy right now, according to U.S. News and World Report last week, is the Vanguard Russell 1000 Growth Index. Symbol is VONG with a 0.08 expense ratio. And VONG has companies like Microsoft, Apple, and NVIDIA there. They also have the remaining Magnificent Seven are all within the top 10 holdings, and they represent 52% of its total assets. However, they have 443 different equity holdings, DC.
Okay.
So once you get past that top 52%, more diversified. We'll see. VONG is the symbol there on the Vanguard Russell 1000 Growth Index. Next is the Invesco S&P 500 Top 50 ETF. So only 50 companies here, DC. This fund has more than 40% of its total assets in the tech sector. Be aware of that. Same top holdings. I'm not going to go through them. XLG is your symbol. There are two to go in the companies here from U.S. News and World Report. ETF Stone right now, their opinion, it is IYW, which is the iShares U.S. Technology ETF, and that has an expense ratio of 0.4%, and IYW has nearly tripled over the past 5 years. Same top holdings. All right. And we finish up with the Vanguard S&P 500 ETF 0.03, the lowest expense ratio again on this list. Vanguard S&P 500 ETF. It's going to be like the XLG with the top 50, except it's going to hold all 500 companies. VOO, a little bit more diversified. Those, again, the top seven rated ETFs to buy right now, according to U.S. News and World Report. I will share, DC, some AI ETFs, not on this list. Mm-hmm. These are just some I will put out there. Some we own, some we do not. But everybody's asking, how do I invest in there without trying to pick one AI company or one that's gone up so much? Maybe you look to the ETF space. Here are some symbols that you can do your homework on. Not recommendations from me to you. I don't know your particular circumstances or if these are suitable. But if you're looking to start and get some information in this area and do your due diligence, here are some symbols that you might do some research in. AIQ is the Global X Artificial Intelligence and Technology ETF. We do own some for certain clients at NJC Investments. The Global X Robotics and Artificial Intelligence ETF, BOTZ, we also own some shares. iShares Robotic and Artificial Intelligence Multi-Sector ETF, IRBO, we currently do not own. Next is the First Trust NASDAQ Artificial Intelligence and Robotics ETF, ROBT. And we do own some of that. And we'll finish up with another. There are others out there, DC, but these are just some ideas for informational purposes. The Wisdom Tree Artificial Intelligence and Innovation Fund, WTAI. We do not currently own that particular ETF, but the space we do own, and it has been working in 2023 into 2024. We'll see if that continues, DC. There are certainly debates on each side of the issue, and that's what makes a market. With that, DC, let's take a break right here. When we come back, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to give you some of the best ideas from the Wall Street market mavens, DC, the experts, so to speak.
Oh, wow.
They were all over the place with their picks last week. We'll share some of those with you.
Okay.
And also, we'll be answering some listeners' questions and more investment strategies to come. So please stay with us. Your financial future back after this brief message.
Hi, this is Nick Colarossi of NJC Investments. Investors today are facing all new challenges. With recent market volatility, we've urged our investors not to lose sight of their long-term investment goals. It's times like these that can create opportunity because we believe true wealth is built slowly over time. Let us show you how that can work with a simple dollar cost averaging plan that can help you stay on track to meet those goals. If you would like to talk to us about getting started or updating your current investments to take advantage of today's market opportunities, give us a call at NJC Investments, 570-586-5030. That's 570-586-5030. At NJC Investments, we are bullish on America and excited about our future.
Securities offered through Lee Baldwin & Company, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back to the Your Financial Future program with Nick Colarossi from NJC Investments on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm DC Taylor here on this Saturday morning, and a little wet out there today, but a little nicer day tomorrow. And Nick, it's, of course, as we say, a beautiful Saturday morning anyway.
Every Saturday is a beautiful Saturday. Thank you, DC. And don't forget to check out my pal DC here. Weeknights on our sister station, 105-103.5 The River. Great classic rock and roll with some wit and wisdom from DC Taylor.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate you tuning in.
Absolutely. DC, I want to move on to some stock picks now from Wall Street. And I'll start with one gentleman here that's on all the time with Stuart Varney. And then we'll get back to a couple more later in the program. Mm-hmm. This is from Mark Tepper. He's the CEO of Strategic Wealth Partners. And he gave us some interesting picks this past Wednesday on with Stuart Varney. His first was Carnival Cruise Lines, okay. CCL. It's been down. It had a good run there for a while, DC, post-COVID, down 14% year to date. We do own, for full disclosure, we do own a few shares for certain clients at NJC Investments. He thinks there's a lot of upside potential to CCL, trading at only $15.90 per share on Friday, $19.74. The 52-week high. He went on then to an AI data center play, Digital Realty Trust. We've talked about this before. DLR is the symbol. They have the real estate for centers that hold, that really do the storage for artificial intelligence and all kinds of data. DLR hit a 52-week high of over 150 on Friday, trading about 149 now. Down still 20% from their high 2 years ago. He thinks there's a big potential in DLR. One more from Mark Tepper. He had Salesforce.com. CRM is your symbol. They also hit a 52-week high on Friday, trading at about 300 and just about 317 on Friday. This is a customer service relationships, but now they've added in, guess what? The AI component.
Of course.
So they think there's a lot more upside potential at Strategic Wealth Partners. They have now put a $425 price target on CRM, we do not currently own. We have in the past owned Salesforce.com. They did have earnings last week. They were kind of muted after earnings, but did hit that 52-week high on Friday. They're up about 20% year-to-date. Tepper puts a $425 price target on a $317 stock. We'll see how that works out. There's a few. We'll have some more in just a bit. But right now, DC, we've come to my favorite part of the program, where we'd like to catch you up on where we stand year to date in our markets. But before we do that, you know that I always like to give you that hot tip on some of the best investments that you can ever make. That is investing in your family, investing in yourself, and investing in your own community. Here's a family event. It covers all three of those, DC.
Yeah.
We mentioned it a few weeks back, the Actors Circle. This is the Actors Circle at the Providence Playhouse in North Scranton, currently presenting Harvey, 6'3½", invisible Rabbit, DC.
Okay.
Goes way, way back. The movie had James Stewart, my favorite actor, as you know.
Yeah.
This is a production by the Actors Circle, very intimate theater. Tickets are only $15, $12 for seniors. There are performances tonight at 7 p.m. and tomorrow at 2 p.m. You can purchase your tickets online from the Actors Circle, or you can get them at the door. You might want to hurry up, though. It's a small place, and I'm sure it will fill up. So check out Harvey this weekend at the Actors Circle, Providence Playhouse in Scranton.
Nice.
How about you, DC?
Parades. Yes, St. Patrick's parades. We're into that season. Yes, it's the parade season, as it is. There's quite a few throughout our area. Of course, notable is, today, Pittston. Pittston's having their St. Patrick's parade. It's about 11:30. Roads leading into Pittston closed about 10 o'clock this morning for the Leprechaun Loop 5K and the parade. So when you're out and around Pittston there. Of course, Scranton, their St. Patrick's parade next Saturday, March 9th, 11:45 in the morning. It kicks off. And Wilkes-Barre next Sunday, March 10th, 12:15 in the afternoon.
That's a lot of St. Patrick's Day ahead of us.
Happy St. Patty's Day to you.
Happy St. Patty's Day. All right, TC, back to the markets. Here's where we stand as of March 2nd, 2024. Dow Jones Industrial Average now up 3.6% year to date. S&P 500 that was in the lead last week, now in second place, up 7.5%. Basically, through 2 months of very, very strong numbers here across the board. The NASDAQ is out in front again, up 8.4% on the year. Price of a barrel of oil slowly creeping up, just over $80 a barrel. Keep an eye there. We don't want it much higher. And the 10-year yield going the opposite direction, a good sign, down from 4.3%, now trading at about 4.19% on a yield basis. You know what I say, DC. In 2024, I think when it goes over 4.25, we have tougher times in our markets. When it goes below 4% and it's heading in that direction right now, hope it continues. I think that bodes well for the markets if it gets there, but currently about 4.19%.
Well, there's that light blinking over there. The hotline is ringing, Nick. And you know, when it rings this time every week, you know what that means, right?
I know exactly. It must be time for Mitchell's Mailbag.
Yes, it is time for Mitchell's Mailbag here on the Your Financial Future program. This is where we answer your questions. We love getting those questions in. Send up via email. Here's the address, Nick@NJCinvestments.com. N-I-C-K at NJCinvestments.com. And put in the subject line, Mitchell's Mailbag. Then they go right over to Mitchell. And he has a proprietary filing system for topics and things like that. And he always gives us a nice variety of topics every week from our listeners. Mitchell Dimitrik, our colleague out there in the field. How are you, my friend?
DC, Nick, I'm doing well today, as I am every Saturday morning that I'm with you guys. Today is a beautiful Saturday morning, isn't it?
It really is. Every Saturday morning's beautiful, but one day closer to spring makes it even nicer, right? It's nice weather expected tomorrow, and DC Tiller tells us we're going to have a pretty nice week ahead. Looking forward to that, and also looking forward to your questions today.
Well, that you're in luck, because I picked out three of the best, and I'm ready to get started.
All right. Well, let's go. Mitchell, number one, what do you have for question number one, please?
All righty. Question number one is going to come from Ken in Wilkes-Barre. Ken asks, with the stock market at an all-time high, do you think there are still any bargains out there to buy right now?
All right, Ken, good question, right? New record highs last week in the market. And yeah, there's always an area to be a buyer in my opinion. And I think you can look at some of the areas that really haven't participated. While I'm still leaning more towards some of these large cap tech companies and artificial intelligence companies that still have low valuations. We mentioned NVIDIA coming into the week only trading at 31 times forward earnings. That, I think, still has upside potential. So I'm not a big seller in that area where there's value. However, you can look at some of the areas that haven't participated. Maybe the energy sector, which just turned positive. Maybe the material sector is just up slightly. But anything that's related to interest rate, in my opinion, interest rates, if interest rates are coming down, things like utilities will do well. Things like real estate should do well. And also any of the classic dividend payers, some of the value stocks that pay nice dividends that really haven't participated in this market rally, they still, in my opinion, have some good prospects and may be undervalued compared to the overall market. So do your homework in that area. Look at some. I like a barbell approach, DC. Mm-hmm. A little bit of value. Maybe even, we talked about bonds earlier, maybe even some fixed income that may be undervalued on the conservative side. And on the aggressive side, I still think this technology rally, especially some of the top players in artificial intelligence, I still believe have a way to go.
Okay. All right. Let's get right to the second question in Mitchell's mailbag. What do you have, Mitchell?
All righty. Question number two comes from Ryan in York, Pennsylvania. York, it's a little far out there from your broadcast range,
right?
DC and Nick, how's Ryan listening?
He must be listening over the internet. So you can go to 94.3 FM, thetalker.com, click the live stream there, or get the Radio Bold app for your phone. RADIOBOLD, Radio Bold, and download that to your phone, and you can listen to the live stream of 94.3 The Talker, along with all the other Radio Bold stations, anytime you like, and wherever you happen to be, you can catch this very program at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday morning. So thank you for that, listening in York.
All right. Well, Ryan asks, can you tell me the basic difference between a Roth IRA and a regular IRA? Which is better?
All right, Ryan, Roth IRA versus a traditional IRA, which is better? My opinion, a Roth IRA, if you qualify, you must be qualified to invest in a Roth IRA. We'll get to those qualifications in just 1 second. But a Roth and a traditional IRA stands for individual retirement account, mm-hmm. and they are similar in many ways. You can invest tax deferred along the way, and you can't take the money out before age 59 and a half without penalty. There are some certain circumstances that you can, but for the most part, generalization, it's for retirement, mm-hmm. and they'll grow tax deferred. Now, here's the difference. Both have the same contribution limits currently, which is $8,000 per year starting in 2024. If you're over age 50, that's the most you can put into either. $7,000 if you're under age 50. So that's the maximum the government lets you put into these vehicles. And I always say, you always invest in your work plan first, a 401k or something similar to that, where the company generally is also giving you some kind of match when you invest. Mm-hmm. That's your best place to start. The next place is a Roth IRA if you qualify, a traditional if you don't. Now, what's the difference? In a Roth IRA, DC, unlike a traditional IRA, where when you start withdrawing your funds after age 59 and a half, they are taxable as income, a Roth IRA is not. Now, you don't get a deduction, a tax deduction, when you contribute to a Roth IRA. You may, in the case of a traditional IRA, if you qualify, there is none in a Roth, so no deduction up front. But when it comes back after age 59 and a half, it comes back absolutely tax-free. And another big issue here, DC, in a traditional IRA right now, if you turn 73 years old, the government makes you start taking out a mandatory, don't like that word, mandatory minimum distribution. Why? Because they want to tax it. In the case of a Roth IRA, you can own that as long as you like, keep it as long as you like, and even pass it down to your heirs. Of course, there are limitations on how they must take it out after that, but you don't have to start withdrawing at age 73. Now, the reason I say if you qualify for a Roth IRA, if you earn too much money, you may not qualify to have a Roth IRA. The adjusted income that you have for a single tax filer in 2024 is $161,000. If you're earning more than that, you don't qualify to make direct contributions to a Roth IRA. If you're married, the number goes up to $240,000 for joint filers. If you're making more than that jointly, you don't qualify for direct contributions to a Roth IRA. However, you can contribute to a traditional IRA and move that contribution over to a Roth IRA. You would have to pay taxes that year, but it can be done. And that's called a backdoor Roth. So Roth IRA first, traditional next. And if you need, I know I threw a lot out there, DC. If you need more details or more information, give us a call at NJC Investments at any time, 570-586-5030.
Very nice. Thank you for that. All right, let's get one more question in here. Mitchell's mailbag. And Mitchell, what do you have for question number three?
All right. Last but certainly not least, question number three comes from Scott in Hazleton. Scott asks, what is the minimum amount I need to get started in an investment account?
Scott in Hazleton, a good question, because this comes up all the time. Do you have minimums at NJC Investments? I'll say yes and no.
Okay.
All right. And the reason being, if you're going to start and say, here's $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 or $25,000, make me rich, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Right. But our minimum, DC Taylor, is $100 to get started. Young investors have to start somewhere. Even if you're a little bit older and you haven't invested, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So I believe that you can start with $100 into a mutual fund portfolio. And then you must. Now, we won't take you if you're going to give me $100 and say, make me rich. It won't work. But if you then subscribe to a monthly dollar cost averaging program of at least $100 per month, and then you grow that when you can. Now I can contribute $200. Now I can contribute $500 a month. Mm. And do it each and every month. And then diversify your portfolio as it grows. That is the way to start and to build wealth over time. So yes, we will take $100 accounts if you will sit down and commit to being a long-term investor by starting a dollar cost averaging program. I think, DC, I've been doing this long enough to see that that really works over time.
Sure.
When you build slowly and then really, it at first, I admit it's like watching paint dry.
Right.
It doesn't grow fast, but after a year or two or three go by, all of a sudden you look at your balance and say, my, that's working.
Uh-huh.
And how often have we done the programs here where we do a 20-year portfolio or a 40-year portfolio? And I know in the 40-year portfolio, just off the top of my head, over a 40-year portfolio doing $500 a month, it was something along the lines of you put in about $270,000 of your own money, and at a 10%+ rate of return, it turned into over $4.4 million.
Yeah.
Of course, the past performance.
Past performance, right? Is not a guarantee nor is indicative of future results.
Right, but you get the drift here. It works over time. So we start as low as $100. If you'll commit to constantly contributing and growing it as you can.
Excellent. Yes. All right. There you go. Your questions. More of your questions answered in the Mitchell's mailbag portion of the Your Financial Future program. Once again, send those questions via email to nick@njcinvestments.com and put in the subject line Mitchell's mailbag. And Mitchell Dimitrik, again, every week you're giving us a nice mix of questions here, a variety of topics, and we appreciate your work on the program every week here, brother.
DC, Nick, thank you for having me on the program each and every Saturday morning. I'm looking forward to next week's questions from the listeners.
Well, thanks so much again for coming in on a Saturday and helping us out as you always do. We're always happy to have you. We're thankful for all of the work that you do on our program here. Wish you a great weekend, and we're looking forward to seeing you right back here next Saturday on the radio.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys then.
That again, Mitchell Dimitrik, our colleague in the field, DC, does a great job for us every Saturday.
He sure does.
We're happy to have him.
Yes.
How much time do we have left, DC?
A little over 2 minutes.
I knew I was talking too long. Let's go quickly. I want to go first to the hedges in the market and compare them. They're now comparing and contrasting gold, which is known as a hedge against tougher times and recessions and so forth. Mm-hmm. GLD is what we use for gold, the Spider Gold Shares ETF. You can buy it and sell it like a stock. And we do currently own it for certain clients, again, at NJC Investments. GLD has now turned positive on the year, up 1% year to date and 13% year over year. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
How about Bitcoin? We use the Grayscale Bitcoin ETF. It used to be the Bitcoin Trust, now the ETF. That is up 60.2% year to date, 382% year over year. Now, Bitcoin will be cut in half again on the production rate of new mining in April. The last time that happened, DC, Bitcoin up over 60% in the next few months. We'll see if that happens again, of course.
Past performance is not a guarantee, nor is it indicative of future results.
No, but we will explain the process at the beginning of next week's program. I want to finish out with a few last stock picks. Bank of America has upped their price target on Broadcom, symbol AVGO, to $1,500. It's currently trading at $1,400, a 52-week high on Friday, up 25% year-to-date with only a 29 forward PE on AVGO. And one last one, DC Taylor, Bill Ackman, hedge fund billionaire, has almost 20% of his entire portfolio in one stock. Let me share it with you. It is Alphabet. We know it is Google, GOOG, trading at $139 on Friday, down from $155.20, a 52-week high. It is still negative 1% on the year. Three of the Magnificent Seven down so far in 2024. Tesla and Apple joins Google. Some are calling it now only the Fabulous Four instead of the Magnificent Seven. We'll okay. see.
Right.
But Bill Ackman, hedge fund billionaire, has over 18% of his assets in Alphabet right now. And for full disclosure, DC, we own GOOG and AVGO for certain clients at NJC Investments.
Okay.
With that, thanks for your help today, DC.
You're very welcome.
And let's remind everyone, hey, there is never a bad time to make a good investment. If you have any questions on today's program, you know where to find us, NJC Investments, 570-586-5030. Thanks again for tuning in this morning on The Talker. May God bless you and may God bless America. Make it a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.
This has been a Filmwise presentation.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Lee Baldwin & Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC.